Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make your move, your hips, we're sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your wound. Hanestine squad, link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey, hey girls. Welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
We're in for another app. Fun, a little light episode, because we did do quite a serious episode on our Patreon last Friday. But thank you to everyone. We've gotten like so many comments on that episode. It was actually so cathartic for Lindsay and I to kind of talk through something that has been, you know, quite stressful for us and following us over the last few years. So if you want to go listen to that, you can go listen on patreon.com/itgalspodcast. I'm sure most of you have seen it on our social, but just in case you haven't.
And it's the start of the month. It's July. So now is the best time to sign up. And you get access, if you access the $6 tier and up, you get access to all of our previous X-Gals.
The whole catalogue.
There's a lot. There's a lot there.
I think there's like 80 episodes now.
And to start from the start, there's such a journey with X-Gals.
Yeah, because we started at such a like pivotal point, because like I was just like coming to the end of my relationship with Michael. You were like single, that we go through the whole breakup. Like it is like a journey.
It's like it's, we're all hand in hand walking through this shit show called life.
It literally. So go sign up for that if you want. $6 a month. There's no minimum sign up. You can cancel when you want. You can sign up and just do 1 month. You can do 3 months, whatever. And yeah, so it comes to around a fiver.
Yeah. So come on, join the club.
Join the club. So it's been a few weeks now. Weeks of people out and about in town, post-quar.
Things are getting back to normal now.
Yes, the new normal, shall we say. The new normal.
I think it's fucking crazy. So the first day I went into town was with you.
Oh my God,
we vlogged it. Check out our vlog on YouTube, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was wild. Seeing my beautiful city again. Like, I love Dublin.
Me
I love
too.
Town. I really, really missed town. Just bopping into town. Me and you love that.
Oh, hell yeah. Because I was in a few days earlier and it was like, not everything was back to normal. Do you know what I mean? It was like a Thursday. So it was like, still people were kind of random. But when we went in, it was like a Saturday. And we went in with the aim to sesh.
Yeah, we were like, we are getting our cans and we're drinking. So it was gas because we were wandering around, did a bit of a bop, I think, in a shop. Did we? No, we didn't. Didn't pop into one shop.
We did. We went to Brian Thomas. We vlogged
Brian Thomas. Oh, yeah. I don't see that as a shop. I see that as an experience. Yeah, okay. No, we shopped in Brian Thomas. We didn't buy one thing.
But we wanted to. We had the aim to shop.
I know.
Just that always happens to me with town. I'm like, there's nothing I like here.
And you were saying as well, because Boo Boo just be going into the menswear section.
The menswear section is lit in Brian Thomas.
It's so good.
And it's because of all the bogey Boo Boos out there. I know. To be buying all the like Stussy and Alexander McQueen. Like,
yeah.
They've got like cool ass streetwear. The women's fucking Brian Thomas, I'm sorry, it ain't not matched that.
Like, no, there was, it's like, not the new shit. And there was, it's not like fresh,
brands,
cool designers. Yeah,
brands aren't cool at all. Like, there's one or two things that we were like, oh, cool. Like that, jacket that Tarmars has was in there, but like there was nothing there that I was like, oh, this brand is fucking deadly.
Yeah, you're hardly gonna be buying a big feckin' puffer jacket in July.
I know. Yeah,
so yeah, get on the women's section in Brian Thomas. That's what we have to say.
I just like, there's no like,
even the way menswear, it's real chic and cool and easy to get around. Like, it's so frumpy.
The women's is like, I always get lost in Brian Thomas. Like, sometimes I'm walking in and I'm like, the other week I went in, the day that I went before you, right, I went in and I was like, oh, I'll have a bop around, see if there's anything. I was thinking, I treat myself, might buy something gorge, you know.
Why not?
Well, I was just like, I kind of, because I think Boo Boo had gone in, Evan, by the way, had gone in.
Yeah, why we called him?
My secret boyfriend, who I live with. He had gone in the other week and he bought like deadly shit. Like, and it was all on sale. He got like a new pair of Nike Air Maxes for like 50 quid. Like,
yeah, there's a big sale going on.
He was getting cool shit. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give Brian Thomas a chance because I never go in there. Like, for clothes. Ever. To be honest, for anything, unless it's makeup.
Mm.
I really don't like shop in Brian Thomas. I love to browse, but like, I went in and like, I was like, women's wear. And all of a sudden I was like, with the Mugler dresses. I was like, And then I tried to find that again with you that time and I couldn't find it. I'm like, we were in some place and it was like, oh, some old ass brand. It was like boring clothes. And in the, that was the coolie section where we saw that jacket. I can't remember the name of the brand. It's like Nanin or something. I can't remember.
Mm.
But the brands there are even like so,
they're random granny shit.
But even like the young shit is like,
it's like Eileen Style Queen vibe.
Yeah,
that's the females who shop in Brian Thomas.
Yeah, well, and I guess they're the women who are buying it.
Women.
Yeah, they're the women who are buying it because, like, no, there's no girls out there. Girls are buying bags. They're not. Nope. They ain't selling bags.
Yeah, I know. That's, there needs to be more gender equality in the drug dealing industry. Because, like, it's all fellas walking around with, like, their little Gucci side bag.
I know. It's so annoying. But, like, the girls shouldn't bring home socks. I really, that's, like, I'll give that a
and
review.
That's our truth.
That's
we popped in right Brent there. Thomas. We walked right out and we headed for the offo and got a lot of White Claw. And we were like, okay, well, like, sit around. Because usually back in the day, I mean, like, pre-choir, like, we are town girls. We love bopping around town. And, like, if I think about, like, a couple of years ago, I just bop into town and always meet someone. It was like a night out would happen so easily. And now, because we're old hags, I feel like our friends are like, we need to organize the nights out or they don't happen, kind of thing.
Well, we're just not like, I mean, there isn't many people our age who just hang out in town constantly. And no, that's just the fact. Because when you are younger, that is what happens.
Yeah,
like, especially because it's like, when we were younger, it was like people are in college. You know,
you're
people,
always in town.
Yeah, you're hanging around doing fuck all. You know that
and
way.
And you have nowhere to go, no job.
No.
You're not doing your college work.
Yeah, you're just like sat around drinking all day. It's great
I
fun.
I know.
But now it's like I go around town, I'm like, I don't know. Me and Lindsay were like, let's go and sit with the cool people around Paris Court Steps. And like, obviously Paris Court Steps have started to be like hosed down every 10 minutes to get the indies off them.
Yeah,
and so we were like, right, we'll go around that area. There was loads of people on fucking, what's it, Castle Street. That,
yeah,
street
by Grogan's.
By Grogan's. And we were like, cool. And we like bumped into Ruthie Ruby, shout out. But she had her crew with her. So we were like, hey, we can't really latch onto them.
We tried. She was like, no.
She's like, text me later. We were like,
but why can't we hang out now? So we like awkwardly sat on like a bench outside fucking Georgia Street Arcade.
Oh man, it was,
and there was
so
like
awkward.
Someone beside us as well. Like, so we had like a tiny little space, or two horses barely perched on this fucking bench with our little cans of White Claw.
And the sun was going away fast.
And we were like, well, this is fun.
Yeah, and then like I was like, Evan's in the studio, we just go there. And then we just went there and invited Sarah and Patch and Pete Farrell over.
Yeah.
And had a social distance party because it's a huge studio, only 6 people. And that's how you do it.
That's how you party post core.
But you went in the week after.
I went in the week after and it was wild.
Yeah, because that was the last weekend before like pubs reopened.
I know, and I'm thankful I got to experience it because it was weird. It was like, obviously, you're all on the streets. You're literally drinking. And they're like, every 10 minutes, they're sending the fucking street cleaner people.
Yeah.
They nearly swept up my sister because they're trying to like, obviously not have us drinking on the streets.
Yeah.
So they were like, coming right up to us. The guards are popping around. So we were like planting ourselves in different little random sections of town. Like, you have to piss outside.
Oh my God, I never thought about that.
You pee, you're like a dog. You're pissing outside. Where, like, what can you do?
I know, yeah.
You have to like go, and then I kind of forgot. And then the next week I was like walking uptown, I was like, oh my God, I was pissing there a few nights ago. It's like the comparison from like the night link to the normal bus.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, how is it the same bus?
Or like
how
festivals at like 3 a.m. versus like 3 p.m. It's like it turns into another
world. Yeah, it's another world. And town was like that. Town that night where when we were all out reminded me of like the end of a festival when you're like walking home. You know when you're like trying to get home?
Yeah.
And you decide to leave at like 4 a.m. on like the Sunday.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you forget the walk to the actual place where
you're
camping.
All excited.
Yeah, you're like, yay, fun. So walking back, you're like through these random fields and there's no music and you don't know
dirty
anyone.
And you're tripping over mud.
Yeah, and everyone's just being like, it was just random. You're just walking around aimlessly with all these other aimless souls. That's what it was like. It was wild.
But last week,
dystopian. It was weird.
So dystopian. The last weekend, it was like the pubs were back open. I've heard mixed reviews.
Samesies.
Some people were saying that like it was just free for all. It was like being in any old pub at any old time. Some people were saying like they couldn't hear the people serving them because they had those visors on. Some people were saying like, you know, getting kicked out on the dot at 90 yeah. minutes. But then a girl I was talking to in the gym this morning was saying like she went to some pub and it took them, they had it booked or whatever, and it took them ages to get seated. But they got seated and then it took them ages to get served. And they were like, we only have like 45 minutes left or something. And then they came around, they were like, what would you like? And they're like, right, we'll order two rounds each just so like we have it all here. Yeah. We all have two drinks. They were like, you can't order two drinks. She's like, we literally had one drink for the whole fucking night. Like, and then they'd nowhere else to go because they hadn't
booked
in anywhere.
Yeah, you can't book
else.
It. It happened with my friend. She was in Swords. And they were drinking away and it was great. But then one of her friends stood up and they were like, you can't stand, you have to sit. She was like, what? They were like just making up these random rules. I went for the opening on Monday and it was lit.
Oh yeah. Well, you just went to your local though.
Yeah. I think at the midweek it's good. Mm. I've been going to my locals for like lunch and stuff.
That's nice.
And yeah, it's lit. They're like, but I think at the weekend they're obviously still trying to function and figure out how the hell this is all working.
Yeah. Oh
because
my god,
it's so mad. 90 minute slots. I feel like a robot.
I know. You think
in, get drunk,
and
leave.
Can you not like book a double slot? You know what I mean? You think you could be like, you'd book,
I'm
like
sure
a,
you can.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say if you're gonna
like different people's
yeah,
names,
yeah, just
apparently.
All the four girlies.
Yeah, it's yeah, like, I've got it booked now.
But
there must
it
be
just
loopholes.
Depends. They could be arseholes.
Yeah, and like, I just don't get, like, for going to the toilet, like, do you have to, like, put your hand up and be like, can I go to, like, I don't get it. Like,
And then when you go into Brian Thomas, like, it was a fucking free-for-all in there.
Oh, Brian Thomas, there was no...
I thought Brian Thomas would be anal as fuck because
me
they
too.
Have the money to put behind it. Like, yeah. My local Dunn's, whoo, that shit was bougie over bar.
Dunn's in Portmarnock was mental.
They had tea and coffee sometimes in the line. They had, like, workers who were specifically hired to just clean the trolleys after every use. Like, it was bougie.
Yeah, it was.
Different sized gloves upon entrance.
And Super Value was the same. Super Value was quite high quality, just a smaller shop. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
so like, you'd think Brian Thomas would be, like...
Brian Thomas...
All they did was like, decanter freaking hand sanitizer into a silver chrome.
But that was just in Prada.
Yeah, true.
There was none, like...
Frankly, I'm disgusted.
I couldn't find, like... I think it must be maybe something to do with, like... You think they'd have a consistent standard. You
yeah,
know what
it
I
was
mean?
Random. Or even, like, that all the doors are open.
All the doors were open. There was no queues. There
wandering
was,
in and out.
Yeah, around the men's side, like, you know, the little entrance to the downstairs and the men's across from Weir's or whatever it's called, there was, like, there's little hearts that's, like, queue here. But, like, there was no one queuing. Everyone's just walking in. And then, like, the other day I was in, whatever day it was, Thursday, just gone. And, like, the doorman had, like, a mask on. That was the
yeah,
only.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it was like, oh, okay. But, like, he's still the
a black one.
Yeah.
To match the hat.
Matte black. Black with red trim. Like, his fucking hat. But, like, you know, it was a free-for-all. And, like, there was, because, like, some of them were concessions in Brian Thomas. Like, Tiffany's has, like, a velvet rope up. And they're, like, only one person in at a time. Same with Louis Vuitton and Hermes. Mm. They all have like velvet ropes where it's like, oh no, only three people.
Which I'd expect from BT.
But Prada was like, you could walk in Prada. There was about 15 people in that tiny little store. We were picking up the bags, throwing them on. They didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They had Prada hand sanitizer though, and I did use that.
And we blogged it.
And we, yes, we did.
I regret not picking up one of those masks.
I know, a Prada mask. Like, that would have been cool.
It wasn't a Prada mask. It was they had the masks in Prada. We were like, Prada mask! And some of the masks are fucking scary I'm seeing bopping around.
Really?
I saw one guy in town and he had like a black mask on, but it had like this big scary mouth. Like,
ew, I hate
like
them.
Big fangs with blood. I was like, that's petrifying.
I don't like that, and I don't like the ones with the little like, I know it's like a filter or something. Like, you know the ones that have like this like,
little like breathy thing.
What are we, sea punks or whatever that is?
Yeah, are you going to Burning Man?
Literally sober. What's that? Not steampunk. The other one.
Steampunk.
Steampunk.
Steampunk. I'm
like,
very.
I say the steampunks are probably enraged.
They're probably enraged.
I mean, their culture is not our costume. Dare I say? Yeah. We're all wearing fucking gas masks.
Steampunks. There's not many of them bopping around. It's very. I think that's more a British thing.
Well, it's very Camden because you know that big steampunk
shop
in Camden.
What's it called again? Like
Is it dog, cyber dog cyber or something dog. Like that?
Yeah. It's fucking scary.
It's. I used to go in there all the time.
Oh, I loved going in there. It's like a rave.
It's mental. They're like... Doof, doof, doof.
And like you'll pick up a little latexy thing and it's like £120. Oh,
and everyone in there looks kind of normal. I'm like, do you all just do this on the DL?
I know. What are you getting up to?
What are you up to? But I say the steam. Yeah, I don't like those masks with the steampunk.
Yeah, they're more
vessel.
Like industrial. It's like a vent.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, is your mask better than my mask? Yeah. Why? What is yours like?
Yeah, I'm like, ew, are you... Am I taking in your thing?
Is yours filtering shit?
Yeah, some of them have filters. Shout out to our girl, Neve. At Nimcake, she makes the gorge masks that we
both
wear.
That you've been seeing, and it's double
and
layered.
They're just, they're like more fashion vibe. Sorry, there I said it.
Yeah.
They're just fashion vibe.
I also saw someone with a fake Louis Vuitton mask, which for me is just, come on, get a bloody grip.
It's like the fake Louis Vuitton bikinis. I'm like, girls, can we put them to bed?
Honey, it's fine. You can't afford it, nor can we. Let's not pretend.
But also, they never made it. I actually have no... Like, with fakes, I can, like... I'll, like, dab to someone who has a good-ass fake bag. I'm like, dab on that. That's a good fake bag. Like, if some girls I know went to Dubai, they're getting this cool shit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if it's a bag they actually made, I'm like, deadly. Shit that they've the brand has never made, I'm like, come on. We know that they haven't made a, like, nylon weird-ass bikini. Like,
the worst was when I saw... On YouTube, there was this some like thing going around where they were like taking old Louis Vuitton bags and cutting them up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And making them into bikinis or little weird tops.
That's sick.
It's so wrong.
It's so wrong. Or do you know what also a pet hate of mine, just random flex on this, but no offense if anyone's getting it, but like I can't deal with people wearing the locks from the bags as necklaces.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I know what you mean.
I can't fuck with that. Like, they come on the bag, like, because you're meant to be so bougie that you're locking your bag because all your expensive shit is in your expensive bag. Like, there's a Dior one going around.
I have a Dior bag and the lock is attached to the bag. I'm not going to take the lock off and be like, see, I've also, it's like.
No, but like, I don't even
you're
mind.
You're trying
if
to
you...
rinse your fucking bag. To but be I like, don't I have even... a necklace and a bag.
But I don't mind it if, like, you actually own the bag. It's, like, worse when, like, these, like, resellers are, like, obviously buying these locks and then selling them off again as necklace.
And the Louis Vuitton locks are like all bet up looking, like they're kind
of, well, it depends on the bag, I think. Some of them are some of them are shiny.
Yeah,
but I mean,
but
for me,
they're usually, if they're being sold off, they're usually like the bag is probably withered away and the lock is, it's so old, the things are bet down.
Well, it's usually, yeah, I don't know, I just can't,
and they just
them.
hang, because they're obviously a lock, so they're real heavy on the pen. It's like a big pendant, random flex. But fair plays, girls.
The end of my judgery.
Shady cunts. Honest.
I know, I'm being so shady, but like, it just popped into
Brent
my
Thomas
head.
Thomas sucks, and so does Depop.
Yeah.
Bye.
Oh, we'll be popping around in our Urban Outfitters clothes forever.
Yeah, literally.
Like, you'd swear we were literally decked out in the best from opening ceremony.
Oh, literally, I know.
We're not. Anyway, so this week, girls, we are going to be talking about some of our fave coming-of-age movies, music, and also, which I think does inform us now as well, just like these movies and the music did, how we use social media back then, because that was like, we are that age group, and I know so many of you guys who listen are the same age group as Lindsay and I, that when social media came around, you were in your like height of teenage years. It was like 16 to 18, and it was just like this whole new world. And it definitely,
and we grew up with the turnover, which is so interesting.
Yes,
the last generation.
Yeah, the last generation who didn't have the internet at some point,
who grew up like alongside it.
Yeah,
not being born into the World Wide Web,
the www dot,
the net. Speaking of coming of age, I remember like being a little bitch teenager and all my little bitchy friends, and we'd be like, C-U-M. And now I see all the OnlyFans girls doing that. Like, come see what all the fuss is about.
I know.
Always C-U-M. So like, if me and my friends were like texting boys, like fully hadn't probably kissed a dude, I'm like, hey, do you want to come over? Or are you coming to the
and
party?
Do you think
C-U-M.
Do you think you knew it was about like cum?
I think like we knew it was like the sex version of coming.
Okay. Because I remember I think this could just be my naive ass. I just would say cum because like we would literally abbreviate every single word in a text message. Like, to the point where, like, it would barely be shorter than the real word.
It was harder
to
do.
It was just like, it was like C-U-M or C-O-M-E. Like, really not that different.
Well, because as well, when we first got phones, you only had a certain amount of
before, like, I went into two texts and you had to pay twice.
So you have your credit, so you had to, that's as well. So I think it was a mix of both.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely wasn't like,
come,
you know, down with ejaculation. I'd probably never seen it, you know, the way.
Probably barely knew it happened.
Yeah, literally. And I would, here's me being like, coming over.
Are you coming over?
And now I just love that the OnlyFans girls do that. I think it's so gas.
I'll have to call this one now, this episode. I'd love to be coming of age.
Yeah. And now it's all I can think about when I see the word C-U-M. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, the word cum is so aggressive, isn't it? It's just like, cum,
cum. And it's just like, on my chest, please. Anyway.
That word's mad. The more I think of it, I'm like, because you came.
It's so weird.
It's like, I've arrived. Here's my cum.
Isn't that so gross when you think about it? Like, I have arrived at my destination of orgasmic.
And it sprays all over you.
Orgasmic pleasure. I've arrived. I've
pleasure.
Come. Who made that up? And then who threw the U in? It should be like the Stussy U. Like,
yes.
Dot, dot, come.
Cute.
I remember girls in school like would have their name Chloe and the E would have the two dots at the end.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
so fucking jealous. I was like, I love that.
I remember, yes, a few people in my year would like have like a French name and it'd have like the accent from French.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
A backwards fada. Or then like the girls with the Irish names, and like if it was like their name is fucking, I don't know, Aoife has one, does it? I don't know. Some of them have a fada on them, and then they like,
some do,
the
like teacher some
would,
do.
Yeah, the teacher would like write, they'd be like, excuse me, there's a fada on the A. Anya has one, that's it.
Anya has one. Yeah, you're random.
Because it's like, oh.
I'd love a fada.
Yeah.
A fada.
A fada.
Come on me fada.
That's the Irish version. Come and have a fada on the U.
Yeah, yeah. Cum.
Cum. So, coming of age movies. Any thoughts, Linz? What was watching movies like for you as a little tween?
I have fallen out of love with movies, and I was so in love with them around that time, like coming of age. You know, when I was younger, I would go to Tony's, which was my like sweet shop. Come VCR shop. Come.
I can't unhear.
I know.
The word
I'm noticing how much I'm saying. And he also had like a dry cleaners. So he had My Girl on VHS,
oh, yes.
And I would literally borrow that every other weekend, and was so obsessed. I think that's why I love denim shorts. She always wore like denim cutoffs.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, Mom, can you just call me Veda? It's just easier to say than Lindsay. She was like, what? Like, I loved it.
I think I watched that movie when I was much younger. But I remember just being so traumatized by it. Like, because I was watching it and I was like, this is so cool. It's like a little boy and little girl. I think I was kind of around their age, maybe 8 or so when I saw it. And then when he fucking dies, I was like, you're actually joking. Like, I couldn't hack it. Like, I was literally the bawling. Like, I was like, I think it was probably one of the first films I watched where someone like dies in it that
and
I
liked. And like a child. Like, that. Who the I would love to see the sitting down and like, okay, let's talk movies. Anyone got any ideas? I have one. So a little girl, she's lost her mother, and her father actually runs a funeral home that she lives in.
Yeah, that was
like,
weird as
what?
Well.
And then she gets a best friend. She's very unpopular. He dies though.
Yeah,
allergic beasting. To bees. It's like,
and he can't see without his glasses.
It's so sad, but I loved it. I just
it
loved
so
her
good.
Whole like her mood ring. She had like a mood ring.
The mood ring, yeah.
And like Shelley, her like new stepmom. And she was just so kind of quirky and independent.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah, yeah. That is such a deadly film.
So good.
And the music to it is so good.
I know. I sometimes still listen to the soundtrack. Just like this. And I just loved her gaff.
Yeah.
Like that when I was a kid and like a preteen or whatever, looking at American gaffs and always the gaffs in movies.
Yeah.
Are like these ginormous, stunning gaffes.
And like a lot of the houses in America are like that.
Yeah.
Like it's weird. They don't really have, I guess it's so suburban in America, you know, that way. Because like a lot of the shows are set and TV things are like set in the suburbs. So like they're so, like they're far out of a city, you know, that way. But even then, like the suburbs in Ireland doesn't have houses like they do in fucking
There's
America.
There's just so much space in America.
Yeah.
Like even their roads in like are massive.
Yeah, and like, their cars are huge.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, all their gaffs are like, they would never have a semi-detached.
No.
Never.
No, never.
Never. They're always a singular house on a massive plot of land.
I remember
wraparound porch.
I brought a friend over to mine from church, my family home, and they were like, your estate is so American. And I was like, oh, Really?
Your state actually is
it
quite
is
American.
A bit American.
Yeah, it is quite American.
There you go.
Won't disclose where it is, but if you know, you know. I think for me, I kind of, when I think of coming of age movies, I was probably like 15, 16.
Okay.
And it was kind of like my, well, let's both talk about one that we both have discussed before, which was actually probably my first time watching a movie that was like a cool older movie of teen subject matter, which was
almost like your choice of movie,
which was Save the Last Dance. And I remember when that was coming out, like, I'd say I was, let me do a quick Google actually of when that movie was.
Yeah, see what age exactly we were.
Yeah. Oh, it's 2001, so I was 11, you were about 13.
Okay, perfect.
Which, yeah, such
oh,
a good
my
age
goodness, that
and
movie
we all went. I remember like it was coming out, and like that was around the age where like I was starting to be allowed go to like go out on my own with my, like, my mom would let us, like, go, you know, they'd drop us at the cinema and like a big group of us would all go to the cinema
and collect you up.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember it was like, I think it was People in Swimming I went with, and I'm gonna say there was about 15 of us. Like, I think,
so fun.
I think it was like a whole row. I think someone's mom actually might have been with us now that I think of it. I think it might have been for someone's birthday, because remember when you'd start doing that for your birthday, be like, go and cinema.
Yeah, I did. I went to see Fly Away Home with my gal pals. It's about fucking geese or something. Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
What the hell?
That's so random.
So random. It was the only one on. I really wanted to have a cinema
That's
party.
That's annoying. Yeah, it was annoying when you'd have a cinema party and there'd be some shite movie.
I know. I was like, fuck it.
We're on to Transformers 2D. Yeah. Or Matinee movie. But we went to Save the Last Dance, and I remember like that was the first like raunchy. And I remember like we were obviously 11 and I think it was 12s.
Oh shit.
And I think we were like, fuck.
Are we gonna get in?
Literally. Some kid like 16 where we buy selling the tickets to
Yeah.
us. And I remember just being like, whoa, this movie is fire.
I remember I was in a youth group when I was a kid, in my church, and we used to go on like day trips to Belfast for shopping. And we'd go into like Tammy and buy Nope, and my mum would give me money and I would be like buying one thing and be like so obsessed, like my new shoes, they're Buffalo, I feel so cool. And then we went to the cinema and like I was like, oh whoa, I never want this to end. This is amazing.
Yeah, I was like, I can't get over like the soundtrack was like so cool. Hip-hop.
Yeah.
And then it was like just like the fact that dancing as well, like that hip hop dancing was really big. It's obviously come back now for kids, but like when we were kids, that's why everyone wore like UFO pants and like all that, because it was all like hip hop, like dancing clothes.
And
like,
even yeah,
like, clothes that moved with you. Yeah.
That helped the flow. Like even like Boyzone were hip hop dancing, but trying. Remember their first ever appearance on the Late.
Yes.
They're not even singing, they're just like
they're like being like little excited 11-year-olds.
I know,
showing
not
off.
Even in unison.
Yeah,
they're all just like
separate dancing.
And I used to do that at discos, just like hands and arms flailing. Yeah. And their legs going 90 with the UFO pants.
But then
like I loved. And also, I think that movie, we were talking a little bit about this when we were at Courtney's at the weekend. I think that movie was the first time I kind of like, was like, oh, racism. That must be so weird, because it was showcasing like a white woman going into like, you know, a different school with like mostly black people, and how, you know, different that was. Then I think that was kind of good in the sense because it put like you in the position, and then you're like thinking, oh,
yeah, I think that, yeah,
I know
I'd
that
say
one
so.
Girl who was in my school, maybe she felt, you know,
it was probably the most like, yeah, the first movie that I saw that was you could relate to it in a way, you know, that way, because
it
like,
taught you something,
yeah,
like,
you
it made
knew
me
about
think.
racism, but it was like Martin Luther King. I was like, yeah, was that old man when I was like 10, like I was like, what? But like then
but
you're
see
like, oh,
the sexy actor, and you're like, okay,
yeah, you're like, oh my god,
oh my goodness. And like I loved the amalgamation of the dancing.
Oh yeah.
The like ballet hip hop style mashup.
Yeah, that was so, I loved my favorite. So good. The scene where she like finally auditions for Juilliard, and they're like, she's doing ballet X hip hop. And the,
that's my favorite.
The judges are like, whoa. They're we have like, never seen this type of dancing before.
Welcome to Juilliard. That's like, what he says.
Yeah, as if they've never seen hip hop dancing before.
And as well, looking back, because I only rewatched that on YouTube, it's shite.
Oh, she's like not great.
Like she brings out the chair. That soundtrack is fire.
Shit, that is so good.
And there's like the shooting. Remember, they're all, get down the floor. He is such a sexy actor. He was in loads of things.
Yeah, he was in loads. What was his name? He just vanished.
I think he was in Moesha. He was always played the same part, like the kind of the fucked up kid with a good heart.
Yeah, his name.
Never saw the good heart.
I want to see Sean Patrick Thomas. His name is Derek in the movie. Derek. Yes, he's been in loads of shit.
He always plays. And what was the other? The other guy was like the good guy.
Oh, he was the good guy. No,
no, the guy. You know what I'm talking about? I think he has like a few face tats, and he was in Moesha. Like,
oh,
he was
yeah.
the like he didn't like Julia Stiles.
Yeah.
Like, why are you with her?
Yeah.
And remember the other sexy, his sexy ex. Who would dance with him at the club?
Oh yeah,
because she could really throw it down.
Hot, actually. He was also in Cruel Intentions and played a very similar character.
Was he?
Yeah. Do you remember he was in Cruel Intentions? He came in and taught what's her name, Selma Blair, is it? And he taught her how to do the cello. Remember, she's the one that Sarah Michelle Gellar is like making her fall in love with because she knows that like her mom will hate that she's going out with a black guy.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. He was played a few very pivotal roles.
He's literally so stunning.
He's in so much. I'm looking at it here. God, fair play to him.
I'm pretty sure he was on Nickelodeon. Like, from what really? I remember, I don't know. Like Moesha, which is like
was
Nickelodeon.
Was he in Moesha?
I think he was the bad guy.
Oh, it's not coming up on his IMDb, but I do. He does look.
Maybe I'm totally thinking of something else. Which
maybe,
is like,
but anyway, he was. I remember him in Cruel Intentions, and he was also fucking right in that. But yeah, Cruel Intentions is another one as well. I think I was defo older when I saw that first because that is so sexy, that movie. But I remember being like, oh, that the fucking soundtrack to that film is
to say the Last Dance.
No, to Cruel Intentions.
This is who I'm thinking of, Fredo Starr. He was in.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
him.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, he's in Save the Last Dance.
Remember the one who was like, he didn't like Julia Stiles.
Yeah.
And he was like, and the main guy, I can't remember his name, but he was always like trying to help him out. Come on, you're better than this. Graduate.
Yeah.
And he was like coming into the
he was getting into
with
the
guns
and all.
Yeah. And like
they both grew up together and he went down the bad path.
Yeah. He was like, come on, leave that shit, man. Come on, you're better. And he would be in the club and like dragging him in, getting him involved.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
You know?
I remember like being so shocked when they, in that scene where she goes into the school and they're like, there's like the gun swiper.
Oh, my gosh.
And
I
was
know.
Like, because I was obviously post-Columbine or around the time of Columbine.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh my god, because I remember hearing of that, people being like, do you know in American schools there's like gun, like the thing, the security things that are in the airport. I was like, what? And then I saw in that film
I was
like, are you fucking joking?
I know, I was like, what?
I was in primary school at the time. I was like,
oh my god. I was like, what the fuck? I should be worried about guns. I never knew that.
I love the way you just like copy and paste it onto your own experience as a kid. You're like, I have to worry about guns. It's
I
like,
know
no nothing to your
no,
school
you have to worry about sums, not guns.
Wow,
but,
dab
on that truth, dab on that privilege.
Another film. I remember when I was like a proper teenager that me and my friends in school got so into was Almost Famous. Like this is when we were like 15 or so. I think we're in fourth year, or no, probably third year when we got really into it. And we were starting to listen to like cool music. We were like getting into like Led Zeppelin, like all this rock and roll. And then we watched Almost Famous, and we were like jaw on the floor. Like,
what year were you in?
Third year around.
Third and fourth. That's the coming
yeah.
of age.
Fourth though, I feel like you know what you like kind of then. Third year is when you're starting to dabble.
See, with me with fourth, I felt like we had the freedom to actually like just chill and talk. So
yeah.
That's when I was really investing my sweet time
yeah.
into music.
Oh, yeah. Movies. We were dipping the toe third year. Yeah. I remember it was kind of like, that's when you're like, I don't like that. I like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, you're like, you have to choose.
Yeah.
Who are you?
What path are you going
down?
Are you
a rocker?
Yeah.
Are you a pop gal? Like, what are you?
And we were like,
choose your fighter.
Hardcore rocker. Like, we were all like mad into 70s rock, because especially because we watched Dazed and Confused. Like, that film, we were like, I remember my friend Maria being like, I actually think I'm just going to be a groupie when I grow up. Like, oh, we were like, because like Penny Lane, and like Penny what a Lane. Fucking cool name.
Penny Lane.
Penny, and like that was also because we knew it was a true story. So if you don't know Almost Famous, it's a true story about this like young guy who got hired by the Rolling Stone to follow around this band on tour. And like he was like only like, I think 17, 18 or something. And he got exposed to just this whole world of like 70s rock and roll.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll.
And yeah, and then like I think in the first gig that he goes on them with, like all of a sudden there's all these girls and they're like, hey, and they're kind of his age. And he's like, what? And what are you doing? Like, where are your parents? They call themselves the Band-Aids.
I love that.
And we all got Converse, blue Converse, because they all wore like those original, the navy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And I remember we also were obsessed. This was like, I don't know why we did this, but I believe it was something to do with Almost Famous. We also used to buy like laces from this shop. Do you remember a shop on Liffey Street that also sold loads of like incense and all that kind of, one of those, and had badges?
Yes.
And they also sold laces.
My sister stole a poxy badge out of that one day, and the man chased us down the road. I was like, what? Oh, why? Yeah, fucking chasing us.
We would,
Sarah was like, go.
People used to like, steal out of that shop, and he would literally be looking at you. You would not get away with robbing.
Like, don't fucking know. I look bad. A £1 badge.
We would buy these laces that were like so much thicker than the Converse, you know, like the big fat laces.
Laces were had a moment.
They had a moment,
which was the weirdest moment. I remember I used ribbons for a while. That
oh
was
yeah,
a thing.
I had Pride laces, like they were rainbows. Without any concept of pride, obviously, but maybe just always an ally.
always representing.
And like, I remember my friend Kaylee had like Band-Aid. She'd put the plaster on her thing, on her Converse.
That's,
and then
pretty cool.
And wrote like Band-Aid on her things. And we were all like, we are going to be Band-Aids. It's like, oh my God, what are you going to be? Underage groupies?
Like, to who? You too? What band?
Yeah.
What about the Frames?
Probably like some band that did the fucking talent show in Mount Temple. That
literally, I remember like seeing your man Paul Noonan from BellX1.
Oh God.
This was like when me and my friends were like fifth year. Our love for music was like,
oh, outrageous.
Pretty intense. Like getting no attention from fellas. No boys were liking us. So we were like in love with music. Like we were so obsessed. We'd buy, like for birthdays, we'd just buy each other tickets to like the Frames, BellX1.
Yeah.
There was that other Irish band that I can't remember. It was the two girls and they were like playing the like ping pong. I don't, not like.
The ping pong.
It's like a xylophone.
Two girls.
And they had a song on MTV. They were like, da da. And they both had bobs.
Oh, yes. That's, I can't remember who they are, but.
Yeah.
Whoever
they
were.
They were Irish. Yeah, I went to see them.
Interesting.
And then they just poof, disappeared. But yeah, we saw Paul Noonan from the Frames in Golden Disc. And we're like, followed him into HMV. And we're like, hey, can we get a photo? I had like this brick that could take a photo.
Yeah.
It was like my first camera phone. And we took a photo and like the thing is grainy and I couldn't look more delighted. Like it's gone. It's gone on that 3210 or whatever the phone it was. He was like, whoa, your phone has a camera? We were like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, cool.
Yeah, do you want it? Loved him.
Now in hindsight, he was probably like, can I have your number?
Call out culture is real. He probably is getting called out.
Probably. Yeah. But like the music thing was another level as well. And that's why I think why we loved Almost Famous. I also loved Dazed and Confused because I was just like, I always see Dazed and Confused and Almost Famous as like a duo, even though they've nothing to do with each other, because it's like both like these 70s movies that are based of like kids getting high and hanging out and being into music.
And it was like a different era. So it was something you could never, like, say The Last Dance, I was like, that's happening right now. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that.
Yeah, and I'm jealous.
Yeah, but then Almost Famous, I was like, why wasn't I born in the 70s? What?
We always used to be like, I should have been born in the 70s, because kids then could do so much more. They were all like leaving school and dropping out.
Yeah, and like following Grateful Dead around.
Yes.
And like, I tried my hardest to find like that fur kind of coat she wore.
Me too. For years I was like, I need one of those like fur trim like almost like fox colored coat.
So, and with her curly hair, like it was just
and
so.
And she had like beads in her hair, and she, it was,
and she
Kate
had
Hudson.
Like little chiffon. Oh, she was just so drop
that
dead.
Was the coolest movie she was in ever.
Oh, I know. Do.
Like she was full. Because do you know what? She also like. It's almost like she channeled like old Goldie Hawn,
yeah.
Like her mom.
She had
obviously
such a rock and roll energy.
Because probably because her mom's like a fucking cool ass bitch too, you know,
totally.
That way. So she was obviously able to like.
And she's always
that.
Had like rocker fellas,
yeah.
Rocker husbands.
She is cool. Kate Hudson is fucking cool. I have to say, not I don't know about anymore, but back then she was like.
Yeah, back then she was so cool.
Yeah,
so pretty.
Yeah, oh god, she was.
And I think once, like years after it came out, I found a similar-ish coat in a Chazza, and I put it on, and I was like. Why the fuck don't I look like Kate Hudson? I just looked like I crawled out of a swamp.
You need like, the Carrie Bradshaw hair that she has. That
yeah,
curly
yeah,
blonde.
That just bounces off.
They have to be like real American looking or something.
You just
know
can't
that, like?
Be. Like it's, you think, you just envision yourself as just being them.
Yeah.
You can't be walking around in a big fur fucking, around Dublin town.
Yeah, no you can't.
16.
Two other movies that I, again, similar to Almost Famous and Dazed and Confused that I also hold in tandem, and I know you both, you're on my vibe with this.
I'm excited.
Would be Factory Girl
and
Marie Antoinette.
I haven't watched Marie Antoinette.
Are you?
There's my truth.
Whoa, Lindsay, whoa. You would, the Strokes are in it. Like the music, the Strokes, like whatever
Okay, I do have to watch it. Do you know what?
Sofia Coppola. Like,
I, see, for me, I am such a stan of the Virgin Suicides. Like that movie for me and my sisters.
Oh, whoa.
We got in, like we really were, like my mum was worried with our obsession.
Well,
it's called the Virgin Suicides.
They
all fucking kill themselves.
I know. I think I watched that for a while once a week, every single week for about a year. I was like, this film is, films will never get better than this film.
No. And to be honest, it hasn't.
No,
like,
no, it's
like
not.
Me and my sisters made up this thing because we read the book afterwards and really complicated book. Like,
do you think so?
Compared to the movie, I think I was just like,
I love the book.
I do love the book, but I think I was maybe a bit too young or something.
Okay.
When I read it. But yeah, me and my sisters would have this thing, which we still say, we're like, that's real virgin suicide-y.
Yeah. But I mean, Marie Antoinette is so different.
I just wasn't
They're not
ready.
Comparable though, you know, that way. Because I remember like Virgin Suicides we all watched when I don't know what, I wonder what year that even came out. That defo came out before I saw it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, my friend introduced me to that in secondary school and it had been out like
It's 99.
Whoa.
Holy shit.
That
and
like,
I always say there's a golden era of film, 99 to 2001. Go watch how many fucking good movies were made around then. It's in like Jawbreaker, I'm pretty sure Almost Famous. Like all of these movies were made within like 2 or 3 years of each other and they're like
such
good so
movies. Good. And they're just so like so random.
Yeah.
Like,
and
fucking
easy watches as well. They're not like, you know, oh God. It's like, but also life-changing.
Life-changing, because like that movie, Virgin Suicides, with the soundtrack by Air. And like they were just so mysterious and like weird girls.
You should watch Marie Antoinette.
I will.
You will fucking love it. That film for me, I was actually only talking on Twitter when I had Twitter TBT.
Let's not bring it up.
With Craig Gemo, an underrated Twitter person.
Really is.
And James Kavanagh. And like he was saying like, oh my God, I just rewatched Marie Antoinette. I cannot believe I forgot how iconic this movie is. And I was like, that for me, I remember that being such a like, because that came out in like 2006 or 7.
Yeah.
And I remember everyone being like, oh, because I don't think she had made a movie since Virgin
Suicides.
And I
love that she always uses
the same
Kirsten
people.
Dunst.
Yeah, Kirsten Dunst. And Kirsten Dunst was like, at this point, she was so famous. Like she was going out with Jake Gyllenhaal. And she was like peak of her fucking indie actress, like, royalty.
I loved
so
her
skinny.
Because she was like so waifish, but not like freakishly so.
No.
But she also like, had like the kind of crookedy teeth. Like she was gorgeous.
She made
but
me
like,
feel okay about my snaggle tooth.
Oh,
does she still have those teeth? I hope she does.
I think she does.
I hope she does. Because she was known for those teeth.
Yeah, I think she's kind of like, she didn't go down the like crazy route of, you know.
But Factory Girl, again, I mean, I will say like of indie actresses in those movies, like top peak would be Sienna Miller, Drew Barrymore, Kirsten Dunst, and
Julia Stiles,
and probably Kate Hudson, because she was very big in that kind of era.
She was.
She was cool.
And you
kind
of watched a movie for Kate Hudson.
Yeah, you were like Kate Hudson.
Or for Kirsten Dunst. Yeah,
yeah, and Julia Stiles, 10 Things I Hate About You as well. You know, so they were like,
to be honest, that for me, that was Julia Stiles' peak. She looked so good. Why the fuck did she cut that hair? I never understood. Like, she had that cool wavy wet look curls and it was 10 like, things I hate about you.
I'm pretty sure she like started the whole like moosing your curls craze because like everyone wanted that wet crunchy look.
It looked so good in her.
Yeah,
and she never wore that hair again. I'm like, hon.
I remember, yeah, so I remember like Marie Antoinette came out, but also Factory Girl came out around the same time.
Factory Girl came out at the most perfect time because randomly I was in a fucking insane obsession with Edie Sedgwick.
Oh,
I bought
yeah.
this book. I don't have it anymore. It burned in the fire. It was like the biggest book I've ever read. I got it from fucking Easton's. I was like, I love Edie Sedgwick. I was in college, I think, at the time.
Mm.
So I think I was like, I'm kind of like Andy Warhol in the factory in my studio in NCAD. But then I found this book. I was like, I need to know more about her. And the book was fucking massive.
Oh, yeah.
It started from like the history of the Sedgwick family. I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like,
yeah, because they are
grandfather.
So
yeah, they were like old money. But like such a insane life.
Oh,
such a fascinating
crazy life. And yeah, Factory Girl was 2006. So yeah, I remember I was in fourth year and I'm pretty sure Marie Antoinette might have been the same year.
Factory Girl was like, what I adored about it was how cringe it is. Like the acting is almost a little bit bad. Like it's not like a good.
I think I completely disagree. So many people always say that. Like, I think that she is so like Edie Sedgwick in it. It's insane. If you watch fucking, like, they say that, what's that last movie that Edie Sedgwick did where she had her tits done and all of them?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was it something Manhattan, Chow Manhattan or something like that? Mm. She's the exact same. And your man who fucking plays Andy Warhol is like,
you know, Warhol was really good. Warhol was really good. But I think it's not even the acting, it was more just like the script. It's just a little silly.
Well, yeah, it's corny.
Way. Like, remember when she's dancing?
Yeah.
I always did this in college because me and my friend Sarah were both obsessed with it and we just like found it so funny.
Yeah.
How obsessed we were. So like we'd be like dancing like kind of 60s vibe.
Yeah, yeah. And then
remember he was like, who is she? She's the soul. She's
No, they're like, we have to introduce you to someone. And then he sees Edie and he's like, oh, Guy Pearce plays a thing.
And she's like, doo, 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 doo.
Your man who plays Bob Dylan. That's the corniest part of the whole movie, I think. When they're like, they
who
won't.
Is he? Christensen?
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
When he comes in. He was fucking. So. Remember when he sets his motorcycle into the lake?
Oh, yeah. And Bob Dylan like always refused to admit that like
he never
they had
acknowledged
a thing.
Yeah, that they had a thing ever, and that was like the whole thing. They're like, oh, I can't believe they put it in the film because like Bob Dylan apparently like popped off when he saw that it was in the film because he was mad because he was
with his wife back at the time.
I think like he was he wasn't married, but he was like also I think he was engaged because he got engaged right after him and Edie broke up, and also like a Rolling Stone and there's all these songs that he wrote about Edie Sedgwick.
Edie Sedgwick was just like, she was the first fucking it gal.
Yeah, she was. Like, she was just like a proper socialite who then became like a rock and roll star because she started hanging out in the factory.
She was an it gal because like she was famous for being her.
Yeah.
Like she had gone to art college. She didn't ever make any art. She wasn't really making movies. Like,
well, she was Andy Warhol's first superstar.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's what Andy Warhol did. He invented this, like, he invented the word the superstar. How insane is that?
How weird.
Because he was like, she's not a star, she's a superstar. And then he would just like take these people and be like, you're going to be my new superstar. And they'd go around everywhere with him.
So cool.
I love that old, you ever see that old interview they did on like, I think they do it in the movie. And they're on some TV show and like he won't talk and he only talks through Edie Sedgwick.
Oh yeah, I think I did. She was so,
she's like, Emily doesn't like to talk.
So interesting looking. Like she had this doll face. I had this book from Urban Outfitters that was like all these close up pictures of her. You could literally see like the pores of her skin. Like it was so good. And then it came with this CD that was her just talking.
Oh yeah, the tapes. I've heard a few of them.
Yeah, the Edie Sedgwick tapes. Because she was really well known for her voice. Yeah. She had this like really husky.
Husky, but like that proper mid-Atlantic accent before Americans became like valley. It was like, oh, da, da, da. It was like that.
It was like a drawl.
Yeah.
And she was just the fact that like she was a heroin addict but never shut up. Like there were these doctors who would like shoot up.
Like, she was just on everything.
She was on everything.
Absolutely everything. And I think from that movie then came off, and tell me if you remember this, there was then like this whole like mini 60s revival, because I remember then Twiggy became huge again. And me and my friend Maria and Anya, we were obsessed with Twiggy. We were just like, she's the coolest thing. And I remember H&M had just opened on Henry Street and they all had these shift dresses. Like you could literally buy 60s mod dresses and we all bought them and we're all wearing them. And I remember once we went to like, a guy in our year was having this fancy dress party and like we, the three of us all bought these mod dresses and I have like photos somewhere of the three of us in my front garden in my old house like doing like Supremes poses.
Oh my god.
Because we all dressed up as like 60s girls and like I fully had a beehive in my hair. Like an actual fucking beehive.
Oh
we were all like
gosh.
Looking up. I remember my dad like creative directing the shoot. He was like, okay, line up, you know, when you'd line up all like in front of each other.
Yeah.
And you'd be like,
that
posing, looking off. I had a fucking Perspex hair banded, like the acrylic ones, you know, with my bouffant.
So fun. I loved, like, I wanted to be Edie Sedgwick.
Oh, I think me and Lindsay, I think, rewatched it and I was like, I might start wearing the tights. I might, the leotards and the tights.
Yeah, she would just wear tights. And again, she had like the big fur coats and she had those mad goggle
earrings.
Her earrings, because she had like short blonde
hair
and like always a cigarette. It's so good.
Like her, she dyed her hair to look like Andy Warhol's wigs because they wanted to look like twins.
Yeah, fascinating.
And they were only friends for 6 months. Like that is the best thing about like her whole like arc was about 6 to 8 months long. And he even at the end was like, didn't really know her that well. And everyone's like, what? And he's like, no, didn't really know her.
So mad.
He's like, she was a mess. Fucking gas.
She was. She had like two house fires, I remember. Like she was always like, didn't she like, she lived in hotels. I think she like burnt
towards
down.
The end of her life. Yeah, yeah, she lived like, because she was just always getting cut off. But I was obsessed with fucking Edie Sedgwick.
Because I just felt like I read that massive book and I was like so trying to soar somewhere. Like I was like, I love this girl, I want to know better. And you never knew. Like she was just
a mystery.
So intriguing, even though there's so much out there of her.
Yeah. So moving on to music. You were saying it was like, what, fourth year you started to get really invested, or fifth year?
Yeah, fourth year was when, because like fourth year in my school was so chill.
Yeah.
Like we were literally just wandering around, going on the hop all the time. And that's when I really started to go into town all the time. And it kind of like, I was able to go to gigs.
Because
you know,
gigs are like dip the toe into going out.
Yeah.
That's why I was going to gigs too. Because my parents, if I was ever like, can I go to this bar? They'd be like,
no.
Absolutely not. But
can
if I was like,
a rave, Mom?
Can I go to a concert, which is just music in a bar? They'd be like, yeah, go on, off you go.
Yeah, I know. It
they
was.
They just didn't really care. Or they just, I mean, also, like, if I had a 16-year-old, I'd be letting them go to gigs. I'm like, go on, go.
Feck off out of my house, please.
Yeah, please get out. But, like, a gig, it's also, like, a good thing to go to, I think, as a child. Like, as a teenager. It's cool to see live music. And,
yeah.
Like, you know, it, like, it actually does. It builds up your kind of ability to go out and be in town kind of late and all that kind of shit.
Which is a good thing about, like, you know, town is, like, which is gas. I was only saying this the other day. Bringing the kids back into town after quarantine was like stressful as fuck because they haven't been, they're so not versed to town anymore.
Yeah.
Like we were walking down the street and there was some lad like on his phone half pissed being like, you're a fucking slut, yeah you are, yeah you are, like, screaming down the phone. I was like, oh come on kids, come on. Rilo was like, he is so rude on the phone, why is he saying, I was like, Rilo, shut up, you'll get the fucking head kicked off.
Not in Malahide anymore,
hon. Yeah, I know, hon, we're not by the coast anymore, darling.
It's not North County, Dublin.
No, it's not D13s. They're like, fucking shut up or we're getting our faces kicked in by the fucking lad. They don't see age in town. But like, I needed that. Like my mum said that when I was in when I was going into town, like she brought me in first on the bus, like me and my friend, and like we were like, they're all knackered, like saying mad things. My mum was like, shut up saying that.
Oh.
Unless you want to get bet up. We were like, ah! So fucking like privileged to be like, ah. So yeah, I was like, you need to get used to being in town and knowing the workings of town.
Well, what's it like? I was going to say street style. Not street style.
Street cred.
Street smart.
Street smart. Fucking idiots.
Lindsay and I the other day were on the phone and we were talking about, we were talking about chess, and then Lindsay said, chess mate. And I was like, yes, chess mate.
And then I was like,
for ages,
oh wait,
we were like, hold
it's
on.
Checkmate, isn't it? I play my enemies like a game of chess.
No stress.
The Fugees.
I've been
because this is why we wanted to do this episode, because we have spoken about it when we were in quarantine. It really made us feel like teenagers, and it kind of rebirthed that whole, like, I really, like, loved, like, I got back into shows and movies and music in quarantine because, like, we were soaking up content so much, it was really like enriching to listen to music.
Feck all else to do.
Yeah, so I was like, really dependent on like shows and music and stuff to kind of like fulfill my day, because I was, we all were sat in our fucking gaffs. So it did kind of remind me of like that coming of age years when you're like, because obviously when you're growing up and your mum is able to say what you're allowed and not allowed to listen to or watch, and when you start to gain control over that and you can go out and find like your own music and your own movies, it's so much more like, I don't know, you just, you love it because it's like
you, well, you discovered it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I remember like, you know that saying like, oh, don't ever judge a book by its cover. I used to always go into like bookshops and record shops and just go by the cover. And that's how I met, like, that's how I found my favorite book and my favorite band, one of my favorite bands.
Which were?
Arab Strap is the band. Because it's my favorite cover ever. It was just this girl like putting on lipstick, like back, she was like a groupie, so it was probably like I was still jizzing over Almost Famous, and I was like, oh my god, it's a groupie. And like, yeah, he's just like, no one has ever loved Arab Strap as much as I have.
No, and you got me into Arab Strap. Who are like, I mean, because I obviously listen to a few of your playlists. Me and Andy listen to each other's playlists.
We like playlists. We like making listening.
We do. And I was listening to yours in our apartment the other day, and like everyone was like, what music is that? Because when you hear Arab Strap for the first time, you're like, this is mental. Because it's Aidan Moffat and he's like a Scottish poet.
Yeah.
And so it's amazing music with him being like, and then you came over and took your panties off.
Yeah.
I could smell your vagina. Like, it's mental. Yeah,
it's
stuff.
Really, really mental.
But it's incredible. It's like,
and that I really felt.
That after an
shaped
edible?
Me. Oh, honey. I know. What was I listening to? Girls of Summer.
Oh, that.
On edibles.
Song. No, that's beyond belief, like, on edibles.
Because the music is so cinematic.
Oh, yeah.
And like atmospheric. And then he just like cuts the music with his like Scottish drawl. Yeah. And he doesn't sing.
And he's an incredible poet as well. So it's like Bukowski with a feckin' a Scottish accent.
Literally. He's like a big dirty old Scot.
Yeah, dirty old feckin' drunk.
Yeah, yeah. And he's so good. And like, I found them through Tower Records. I went in and I was like, that's Debbie. Yes. And I came home and I was like, what?
That's so cool that you found it that way.
I know. I was like, I've never heard anything like that. And I think it really changed my outlook on life, because like my upbringing was so sheltered with sex. Like, we weren't allowed to speak about it at all, hear about it, anything like songs, movies. Like, we were not allowed to watch. I wasn't allowed to watch Friends when I was a kid, or The Simpsons, because there would be like sexual references and stuff like that. So I was so unaware, like not like able to talk about it. And then I listened to Arab Strap and I was like, he's just talking about sex in the most matter of fact.
Yeah, it's not way. It's like romantic but not romantic at the same
time. It's romantic in how real it is.
Yes.
And like, it's also, he's not trying to be controversial, he's just being real. And it just is like shocking, because I hadn't heard someone be that transparent with like, it's just so interesting. And it just taught me loads about relationships. Like, he makes songs about like fighting with your girlfriend or cheating or like her, you know, loads of things. And it's just a really shaped the way I think I speak the way I do because of that band, about like sex and love.
Super
and
poetic but matter of fact as well.
Yeah,
I think I remember, I think as I said, like third year or so, I was kind of getting into like my own music, like I was, you know, like, but I was still kind of informed because my dad was like gas bastard. He's like, right, you aren't listening to shite music anymore. Here's Physical Graffiti by Led Zeppelin. Get into them. And me and my brother were like, okay. And we were like, whoa, I cannot believe this has a 12-minute guitar solo. Hello. And we were like fucking so into Led Zeppelin. And then I like, that spawned my love of like proper like old school rock and roll. But then I think my the moment of me like a real coming of age, because I think a coming of age moment within music is finding, it's kind of going alongside a band as they blow up, because there was always this untangible element of being into older music like Led Zeppelin that like I could never see them live. I would buy their DVDs and watch them, but I could,
you weren't
never,
there to experience it.
Yeah, there's always this FOMO element where you're like, oh, if only I was Penny Lane, or I can't see them live ever, or I can go see Robert Plant's son's band live. Yeah. Like,
and you can also, there's people like that who can get so addicted to like old music that they're like, fuck new music. Oh, it's never the same.
Yeah,
you'll never be around for Zeppelin.
So
you don't want to be like that, because then you can't enjoy your
new
current
music. Yeah. And I remember like a band that came on the scene like with a bang. And I remember the first time I heard the Arctic Monkeys, Bet That You Look On the Dance Floor, I was like, what is this? Because the Arctic Monkeys as well, which is so cool for our generation, I think they were the first ever band to go viral from the internet. They began on MySpace and they put out singles, and MySpace launched their whole career. They were the first ones from social media to be then become
so
like
mad.
Worldwide stars, because their album, I think their single came out, they went viral, and then by the time they'd gone fully viral, they'd already recorded their album, so they just like blew up. And I remember like that fucking song.
That song.
Hearing that like riff, like,
yeah.
Like, because it was almost, it was very, because we're also the generation of like indie rock and roll. And indie rock and roll was so like vast. It's quite a large umbrella term, because like some people sound like the Strokes or some people sound like Kings of Leon, but then there's also Arctic Monkeys. Like, there's a.
And then there's the Libertines. Like, because I think I loved the Strokes. I loved Kings of Leon.
Yeah.
But.
The Libertines, yeah.
I love them, and I appreciated their music so much, and I still love The Strokes fucking so much. I wouldn't really be listening to Kings of Leon too much.
The old albums, though, I would say.
They are. I mean, I still have Shake Heartbreak.
Oh.
Yes, I will push play on that motherfucker. But I think then we had... So that was obviously in America, so it still felt like so far away. We could see them at Oxygen or like the big shows. But like the Libertines, they were deadly, but they didn't have... bangers the same way like Arctic Monkeys when
the
they
Arctic
came
Monkeys
out
was like,
they were more like, okay, I get this, like the Libertines I think I was fascinated with because like Pete Doherty is like,
they had the whole romantic element to them. It was more like the experience of them,
it was like, more like the
Pete
tabloid.
And Carl like hated each other but had to make music together. They loved each other like brothers, but fought like lovers like
so
it's like a soap opera.
It was not about the music at all. I remember
you
like
their music and you're like, what?
I know, I remember that, like I was like, they look so cool, like I'd see them like on TV on like Channel 4 talk shows at night and stuff.
Sheep,
delang. It's like gin and teacup, leaves on the lawn. And I read, like, I loved the whole, it kind of, the Libertines built the kind of like narrative of it.
Yeah.
It's like gin and teacups and little petticoats.
Yeah, sheepy doop doop.
Yeah, but the songs were pretty shit.
Yeah, like they weren't in any way, but like the Arctic Monkeys, and what I loved about the Arctic Monkeys back then anyway, 2006 when that first album came out, they're like, the way they looked, they were like 17 year old
you could
normal
relate.
Looking lads, like
they weren't drop dead like Alex Turner. You're like, I love you, but like
now you are, but like not then. He was just like a little spotty little kind of, like he was so cute.
I loved that look. I fucking hate that Alex Turner is who he is now.
I know, the slicked back hair.
He literally changed his whole personality. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
I used to watch, like, I liked the cover he did of Drake's, he did a cover of a Drake song on, like, some BBC Live thing. It was like, whatever it was, that Come On Everyone.
Yeah, I remember it.
And he's like, he acts now when he performs.
And he just knows that he's cool. And the whole, the, like... What was so endearing about the Arctic Monkeys were these northern lads. They were like a new Oasis. It was like that kind
so
of vibe.
They were so not aware. Yeah, like they had their guitars right up.
Yeah.
Like they weren't trying to be and cool playing. They were just trying to play.
They were catching up with their virality. Because I remember they went, as I said, they went viral so quickly. And I remember they had already booked a gig in the Academy, iconic Dublin. If you were around for Academy gigs.
If you
gigs,
went to see that, did you go to see that?
No. Fucking and that was the most annoying thing. So I remember I was in fourth year and it had already sold out. So they had gone viral and then they'd already booked this gig. So I think when they went viral, the gig sold out in like minutes. But it had been up on sale for like months because no one knew who the fuck they were. So like by the time they played the Academy, like they could have sold out the fucking Three Arena. But they were like... You know that one of those weird things, like when Lizzo came. It was like Lizzo played the Olympia randomly because like, but by the time she was playing it, she could have easily done something massive. You know?
They are the best gigs. I don't know if I always missed those gigs.
No, hon, remember the one we missed?
We've missed two.
Lana Del Rey. In Vicar Street.
Oh.
I'll never, ever get over that.
And I think Amy Winehouse, before I had gotten into her, played the Olympia. And I'm like...
Could you? I have to literally suppress. And
yeah,
honestly,
like it didn't happen.
The Academy, Arctic Monkeys was one for me as well. Because I remember there was just this big, this was early fourth year. So like, I was probably still 15. This was like probably October. Like I was only in school a month. And I remember so many people were like, we are getting tickets. Like this band had just blown up and it was like, everyone was just after tickets. And I was like, I know my mom will not let me go. Because at that age, she was probably a bit, and it was like 18. So yeah, it was more, yeah. I think it was also in the, like, the one thing my mom would never let me do was like go to big gigs like this on like a school night. I was like, for fuck's sake, of course they're playing on a Tuesday.
Oh, you're like, you're fucking good.
For fuck's sake. And I remember all my friends, like I think about three people I knew got tickets. And there was like all these like 6 year boys who were going and they were all going with them. I was like, for fuck's sake. And like that one, that was like such a, like, you know when you just feel like a loser because you're not let go, and the people are like, are you going to Arctic Monkeys? And then like I'd be like, I can't get a ticket. They're like, my friend's selling one. You're like, trying to think of another excuse to be like, my mammy won't let me go.
I'm not allowed to see Alex Turner. And I think what was so good about that time was like, this was before, like we're talking about MySpace, this was before Instagram. So like they had the whole, like Alex Turner then started going out with Alexa Chung.
So cool.
Like they were the couple. I saw them once.
I know. I remember one of the first things you told me when we met, because you would just come back from England then. This is like 2010. You were like, we were literally sitting in, what was it, like London Fields?
Yeah, we were in like a little random field in London. It was not even London Fields. It was like right outside like Alexa Chung's house.
Like Dalston.
Yeah, something like that. And like I went over to visit my friend who had gone to London after art college. And we were just bopping around and we got like some lunch and sat down. It was a really hot day. And right by us was like Alex Turner, Dominic Jones, Alexa Chung, Pixie Geldof, Nick Grimshaw. They were all like drinking Jack Daniels and like running around.
And didn't you say they were popping in and out of Alexa Chung's gaff?
Massive gaff. Massive fucking gaff. They were popping in and out, getting like more glasses. And like she had like that little dinky Chanel and just fucked over her, like flung over. And like this cute little dress, she looked drop dead. Pixie on the other hand wasn't looking great, but her and Alex Turner then like just sauntered off down the road. She had her arm around him because she's so much taller. And just the way she, I thought that was so cool.
They were really fucking cool. They were they should have got married, honestly. So dumb. It's so stupid they broke up. They kept each other so relevant.
I know. And they just looked great. And like, they looked so in love. And I saw, I'm trying to find it, but I saw on Instagram the other day, it was like a note that he had written to her.
Oh.
And he was like, I want to kiss your lips again.
Oh.
I can't stop thinking about your lips. Like, oh, they were dreamy.
They were so, like, yeah. And then when he broke up with her, that's when he started to become all this Elvis vibe.
Like he literally had a comb in his fucking back pocket. And he'd be like, running it through his oiled hair. It was like, what are you up to?
The Arctic Monkeys were fucking dead. They were so cool. But we obviously also have this, like, shared love of the Strokes, which we've spoken about a good few times. But that was another band that was like.
The Strokes was truly my. If we're talking about coming, I came.
Oh yeah.
That is my like that is my like true orgasmic sensation music. Like I can't with the Strokes.
Yeah.
I can't deal that they're still fucking putting out albums.
Just incredible like, albums.
Amazing albums. Just like, yeah, there's another one. That we missed that gig right before quarantine in Belfast when they played to 2,000 people. They just randomly released it, remember?
Sick, yes, in Belfast.
And it sold out in like 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, and it was in like some sort of like opera hall. So like the acoustics would have been fun. You know, it was very much a music goer's event. It wasn't like a drunken event.
Yeah.
Wasn't there like mixed reviews? Didn't you say?
Yeah, I think they didn't play for long and stuff.
Yeah, but fuck it. But we did see them at Electric Picnic. So that was good. Which and we were like, literally up the very front.
I was like salivating. I mean, I was insane, but like, I was like, it's just, I'm so into, their music is just so deadly. It was just that time of like, you know, being a teenager and feeling that like rebellion in you.
Yeah.
And that music just spoke to me like that.
I remember loving Kings of Leon as well. Like they're, and when you say Kings of Leon now, people just think of their corny Sex on Fire. And I'm like, no, they were so cool.
When they first came out. When they first came out with that weird hair. Remember the little fringe and the weird.
And they were like, and they were all cousins and shit. It was so random. They were all like brothers and cousins.
Yeah, and they were all related. Like brought up. Christian.
Yeah, they're Baptist, aren't they? They're like super Christian. And I remember, like, I think I said on the pod before, but like my Bebo name, because we're going to talk about this on the after we talk about Kings of Leon, but back in like the old social media days, you would have like a name. So it was like you'd have your normal name, then it'd be like Bebo.com/, and that would come up in these little like commas. And mine was Taper Jean Girl. Because that was Taper Jean Girl. Let me go.
Because their music was like rock with a bit of country.
Yeah.
It was like so twangy and fun.
Yeah, they were so cool.
And like deadly dancing music.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, like when I was in school and going out like to clubs, that's what they were playing. They were playing rock. They weren't Indie playing nights. Fucking like hip hop. They were playing like Kings Leon, The Strokes, Libertines, Arctic Monkeys, like and then the Ting Tings.
And the Klaxons came along and that was a bit more like dancey.
Yeah,
it was
like
the Klaxons.
And then LCD sound system kind of came along and that kind of stuff. And it, it got a bit more dancey up in this bitch.
But it was like electro indie still.
Yeah. It was still like doing your weird dancing in your little like fucking
white
bros.
People dancing.
Yeah. Which I prefer because I can't like dance to hip hop. I feel like
I'm full on, I'm putting on a show.
I'm like, I can't.
You have to dance sexy to it.
I know.
You can't dance nerdy to hip hop.
No, but I feel nerdy as a white person dancing to hip hop.
Fully.
Like if I go to like a hip hop gig, I just stand.
I kind of do a slow shuffle.
Yeah, I kind of like, I'll nod my head.
Julie Styles saved the last dance. Like the swag.
The back
side
and forth with the shoulders.
He's like, loosen up.
Yeah.
Listen up. She's like,
maybe we'll get some tips if we watch that.
We'll have to rewatch that. But yeah, I love Kings Leon because there was like a scale of like types of music back then. And like there was the indie scale was like punk, but then alternative. And I think like the Kings Leon were more like on the alternative side. But then on the other end was like Arctic Monkeys. And then the Strokes were kind of in the middle. Do you know what I mean? If you had a scale, like the Arctic Monkeys were quite like punk. Those riffs were like, you know, that way. But then the Strokes were kind of right slap bang in the middle, this like New York rock and roll kind of vibe. And then they were more like alternative kind of country. And they were fucking so good.
So fun. And like, it was just deadly, like, because it just matched perfectly. Because you were going to the festivals in summer and the bands that you had been obsessing over all year with your gal pals in school, you're going to Oxygen and they're playing.
I wonder, do people feel that way? Like, what about Picture This? Are they like that now? I mean, I couldn't. It's mad now. I remember we were at
Electric. I think it's like Cardi B and shit. I feel like a granny.
And last year it was like Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
And she played that. Because Evan went down to EP the day before us and he was like, that was the biggest crowd. And for Florence and the Machine. And I'm just not. People are obsessed with. Like, she was playing Oxygen back in the day. I remember I did that first album. I went to see her in like a tent. I was never mad into her though.
I was not a Florence girl.
I went because my friends were mad into it.
I used to like go into her room and be like, can you shut
the wailing,
that wailing cunt off, please? She's like, it's like, ow, shut up. Like, it's like she's moaning.
It's like, ha ha.
What's her famous song?
The stars, the moon.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was everywhere.
You
I was
can't
like,
sing along to it because it's too like.
It's just too intense.
Yeah.
Like I remember my sister would, because we'd be going down, say, to the country for like our holiday. And we'd all have, like, when we, first it was my dad's choice. Because my mum's not really into music, to be honest.
I don't like it. Anyway.
It's annoying.
Yeah. It's just very loud.
It's very noisy, isn't it? And but my dad, like, likes his music that he liked back in the day, like Elvis, Van Morrison, Bob Marley.
Van Morrison, show me an Irish dad who does not like Van Morrison. And honestly, in my years recently, I've been like, dear God, Van Morrison's so talented.
I know, that's music.
My friend, he's a grumpy bastard as well, which I love.
I know.
Everyone's like, you never know what you're going to get with Van. Some nights he'll be like, how are you? Because he's from Belfast, isn't he? And then like some nights,
is he Belfast? I didn't know that.
And then some nights he just plays his songs, doesn't even speak to the audience.
Yeah, you can tell he's a big moany prick.
Franny, sometimes like, people see him in pubs and like sometimes he's like, how's it going? And then sometimes he's like, fuck off. Another Bukowski, I feel.
Yeah.
A poet with an attitude.
A poet with some problems. But yeah, then like we got into our teen years and we all wanted to have our song on our album on, and Sarah used to put on Jeff Buckley.
Oh yeah, you told me. She was obsessed with Jeff
and
Buckley.
And like, I love a bit of Jeff Buckley if I'm like going through a mini heartbreak in my own brain and I'm like rolling around
feeling
the bed.
Emo.
Yeah, but like, geez, I'm not like, my dad was like, when he's like, tied to the kitchen chair, I was like, Sarah, can we fucking...
I remember that would happen though when you were a kid. You'd be like, Mom, did you ever hear this song? I'd be like putting on like some random Kings of Leon song and it's all about like fucking writing. And I'd, I would never hear the lyrics until I played to my mum and she'd be like, oh, like that Milk song. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I loved that song. What was it like again?
That was the real, it was like, oh, fuck, what did it go like? It was the real slow one. It's like, no, that was a different one.
That's Jeff.
No, but there was something about tying and then they were like, kissing your lips or something, and I remember being like, whoa, this song is actually so fucking
I remember
intense.
I got pregnant when that song was kind of fame. Or, well, I think maybe we were just listening to it loads.
With Milk.
It could have been Milk. It was the one, there's a lyric like,
I'm gonna find
you're
it.
Keeping your baby. And my sisters were like, you're keeping your baby.
Yeah.
I was like,
this is
Mindy.
It.
Oh, I love this one. This is Salty Leaves, right?
Yes, yeah, so, and I thought it was Salty Knees.
So, oh. I put that on a playlist the other day.
But isn't it Soul TV? I also heard that going around.
That was like a thing.
It was like, she'd show me her toothbrush, her hourglass body. She had no problems with drinking milk and being school toddy.
I know, I was like, I'm so mean.
I know, I was like, I am her.
I'm always late for
that,
school.
And I remember like that song was like, when I had like my proper first fancy, I would listen to that song and just be like, stay for me. Stay for me.
Stay for me. I remember Phone Me Tonight by Arab Strap was my like song
really?
When I was living my fake heartbreak.
I know I when you're like fake heartbreak.
It's like I would just exaggerate things in my own head accidentally. Like when I was like a young teen, like I'd be thinking that me and him were like looking at each other. If he like glanced at me, I'd be like, oh my God, the tension. You could cut it with a knife.
I know. I loved a good pining moment.
Yeah.
Like, pining was my thing. Like, which is very, it's adjacent to heartbreak. You just haven't rode them or kissed them or even
or
spoken to
them. Yeah. But you are like, we have this burning
you're
love
like,
that cannot be.
He will. You'll be literally frigging yourself thinking about, like, one time in the canteen where he kind of looked at you.
I know. Like, whilst holding his girlfriend's hand, probably. Yeah. Like, oh, he loves me.
And you're like this nerdy freak. Slicked backbone. Or like I would literally be doing it to like I was
eating
in second year I'd be doing it to like
canteen.
I'd literally be thinking about it like 6 years in my school and I was like second year and I'd be like he fancies me weirdly and I'm like
because
no.
Like yeah you're like randomly you had to collect something from your mom outside like when
yeah and he'd be like alright and you're
yeah,
like
because you're walking by the corridor he's like
14 he's a full grown adult
and
he's getting locked on the weekends
and he's definitely not looking at you.
No.
I had a satchel for a school bag.
Yes, satchel
bags
are cool.
It was like an East Pack and it literally had like,
pack,
it was so extra. It was like, I was kind of in my hippie phase and it was like orange, flowers, all this. It was mental looking.
Very Penny Lane though.
That's what I thought.
Penny Lane brought in satchel bags so she had a satchel bag.
And it was swinging around in the wind.
I remember my friend Meg had a satchel bag and hers was the coolest. It was like this army green colour. We were all like, that is so fucking cool. I had a Jansport bag. That was also a flex.
That's cool.
But then I was sick of it by the time the satchel bags came in fash.
They were hard because they wouldn't fit your fucking books. So I'd have half the books in my hand.
You just hold them. Like, but then I kind
but
of felt American.
I felt American. I was like, I actually love that I'm just holding my bag.
Yeah, and then there was always some
holding my
slut
bag.
In school who'd have a handbag as their school bag. And I'd be like, oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Have
what
a tampon and a cigarette in it. Be like, I forgot my book.
It's like, do you mind if I light up in here?
Yeah. And shove this tampon on my arse.
Smith. Sorry, I've got my period.
Heavy flow.
Yeah, heavy flow. I'm really fertile.
Yeah, my big tits. My big bra.
So to end off, let's talk about social media back in the day. Because it also came into the music thing. Because I remember then when like MySpace started popping off, I think I had moved away from like some kind of rock and roll music and I was kind of getting more into like hardcore kind of shit. I was like really into like the whole emo kind of thing, but also a bit of like electronica. Like, do you remember Death From Above 1975? I was fucking obsessed with them. I was like, this is the coolest music ever. It's electronic.
Is it the two guys?
Yeah, and they had like the elephant trunks.
Yeah.
And that was my MySpace song. And that was the flex back in the day.
It is.
Like, what was your MySpace song?
My MySpace song. Oh, yeah. Coco Rosie.
Oh, very you.
I know.
Very
when I found that, I found that band again a weird ass way. I was on MySpace and I broke up with my first boyfriend who, like, we didn't even have sex. Like, we dry humped, you know, and I was like, so heartbroken. I cried for 2 days straight.
Oh,
didn't stop crying.
No.
I remember my mum being like, can you unload the dishwasher? And I came down in a dressing gown, her dressing gown, naked underneath, bawling. Oh. She was like, what? I was like, I just can't deal with this. Couldn't stop. Like, literally, I was like, I'm not even sad. I don't.
I think, yeah, the first heartbreak that I had, I think I didn't go to school. Like, I just mitched for 3 days straight. And I didn't eat. I was like, I'm not eating.
I know.
Two
I
days.
Was so upset. Oh my God. I didn't even like him that much. Like,
I know.
What?
It's just this weird thing you have to go through, I feel.
And like, yeah, totally. And then years later, I think I was randomly stalking his new girlfriend on MySpace. And I saw she had a little song and I pressed it and it was Coco Rosie. And I was like, that is the most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life.
Why do I love her? Why do I love her?
You did good, kid. Well done. She's wonderful.
Incredible music taste.
And Coco Rosie were just my MySpace flex.
Yeah, that's a good flex.
They were weird. I'd never heard music like that.
Really weird.
They're fucked up.
I always think of you when I hear Coco Rosie.
I know, like I was...
You were bet into them up until you were like in your... I mean, now.
Yeah, I don't know when that randomly went. So I think when I went to see them. Sometimes that happens to me with music.
Yeah, it's like closure.
Yeah, because that kind of happened to me with Lana Del Rey. I saw her and I was like...
Yeah, you were saying.
I'm kind of done. I'm done here.
Yeah. You've gone full circle.
It happened with Joy Crooks as well. I loved her. I went to see her and I was like, nah.
But I get it. I think it's just more like closure. You're like, oh, there we go.
But then the Strokes, when I went to see them, that like rebirthed my adoration.
Yeah, true. But maybe if you saw them in Belfast, you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, maybe.
You know that way?
Because I saw Aidan Moffat and I was like, I'd been waiting for so many years and I couldn't believe it. I walked by Grand Social and I saw Aidan Moffat. I was like, what? Because like Arab Strap, I found them when they had broken up and everything.
Yeah, they were like 90s.
Yeah. And they like had a really bad breakup and fucking hated each other and stuff. And I went to see him in Grand Social and like I went up to him afterwards. And I was like, I love your music. Like, really, thank you. And he was like, oh, thank you. You're welcome. I was like,
can we talk about it?
I know. I'm like, no, you don't understand.
What's your favorite thing about the music?
I know. I was like, you make me feel like I'm being listened to, like talking shite. And he was like, oh, look, I don't even listen to my own wife. I was like, oh.
Hang on, what?
You're married, but you're talking about shagging all the time. Like, groupies, me.
Possibly me. But yeah, I remember like that was a... Because like MySpace was a flex for the thing, but it was different to Bebo in that way. Because Bebo, like, you'd have a flash box, but it could also be a funny thing. But MySpace was like, here's my art.
It was your website.
And you're like,
basically.
Here, yeah. I was there coding.
Oh, coding. Yeah. What was your vibe on MySpace? Color scheme, etc.
I had a few different ones. I remember I had a full glitter background for a while.
Oh.
I thought that was quite cool. Because I figured out how to like take a picture from Google and like put it in the CSS code and it would be like tiled. And I was like...
I learned how to do that too. I used my own.
Yeah. And people were just like, whoa, how did you do that? And I was send me your code, I'll do it for you.
And it also took hours.
Oh, but like randomly got so good at it. And then I think I
also... You know when you like did one slash accidentally and it fucked up the whole thing?
And it would... Yeah, you just go in and look like fucking so shit. I also had like... I think I had like an all white one for a while. And it was... Because there was defo like trends. Kind of like trends on Instagram now where like everyone's using like a similar filter with all the grain or Huji. But back MySpace it was trends. Like, because I remember for a while everyone would be getting into the themes and doing themes and it would go crazy. But then there became this kind of cool like
minimalist
where you went back to just the original MySpace layout.
Oh yeah. That, which like, is like, I don't really give a fuck.
It was just
this.
Like, Tom is my friend. This is how he wanted it. So
how is Tom?
I don't know. I'm sure he's rich.
I hope he's doing okay.
Although I think I might have heard he never sold it, or he could have sold it back when it was huge and he could have made so much more money, some shit like that.
Because it's still bopping around.
I think it's owned by Microsoft now. It's still up. You can literally...
I need to try and find my space.
Mine, annoyingly, so my boyfriend, I'm pretty sure I said this in the pod before, but he made me delete it. Controlling freak.
Why? What were you putting up there? Just sexy
I wasn't pics putting... No, I wasn't putting up sexy pics. He was like, oh, you're talking to these guys. And I was, but he had no proof.
Let me talk to my American friends.
Yeah, no, they were from Dublin. But like, oh, I was really? Also like, you're annoying as fuck. Like,
I talked to just American
like,
dudes.
I'm trying to be cool to the like older emos.
Just let me cheat on you for fuck's sake.
Let me just fucking have an emotional affair via the internet, okay? You controlling freak.
Oh my goodness, I loved it. I was friends with just Americans. And like when we went over to America and we met these guys and then we like had them on MySpace when we came back and kept the conversation going. So fun. I met friends on MySpace and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. The girl who did my dreads, I met her on MySpace. Oh, I wrote to her because she had deadly pictures on MySpace and she had these dreadlocks and I was like, you're so cool. And I wrote to her being like, how did you do your dreads? Because in NCAD, I had tried to do them.
Mm.
Like, where the fuck did I get this fascination with MySpace, I guess? And I got beeswax from like some health store and I just like melted beeswax and put it all in my hair and it looked... I just twisted my hair and covered each twist in beeswax. And I was like, okay, what the fuck? I look insane. And I literally had to buy like 3 bottles of heavy duty conditioner and my mum fine toothed combed, and she gave aid to me the whole way through. She was like, I just can't believe get dead.
It's like that episode of The Simpsons where Lisa gets that big fucking bit of chewing gum in her hair. Oh, and they used to trigger the fuck out of me. I'm like, ah. But yeah, like, I wonder, I always wonder, like, did MySpace inform how we use social media now? Because do you remember how confessional MySpace was with the bulletins?
Yeah, so and famous, like, people were doing that.
Yeah, so like if you don't, if you weren't on MySpace, you'd have like a homepage, which I guess is like kind of like your feed on Facebook or something.
Yeah.
And it, bulletins basically invented statuses, I think. Because you, what you would do, it was like this little part in the bottom left-hand side of your homepage on MySpace. And a lot of it was kind of like almost chain maily. Like it would be like, well, I see a lot of it on Instagram now where, you know, when people have like those kind of like aesthetic laid out things where they'd screenshot it and it'd be like, my favorite color is blah, my favorite movie is blah. You know, those things that people filled them out on Instagram. Yeah, but that was originally a MySpace thing where you'd have a bulletin. I remember there'd be like a questionnaire and it would be like top tens. And then it'd be like, you'd always have like your movies and your songs. And then it'd be like, boys you like.
Really?
Yes. And you could, or it'd be like your crush or something like that. And you would like write in like clues who your crush was, and like you'd obviously be friends with them on MySpace. So it was like the whole early days of flirting via bulletin. I remember that so clearly. Or you'd like,
I don't think I did that.
Really? Oh, it was a big emo thing.
I wrote like blogs. It was kind of like bulletin and a blog and the same.
Yeah,
like,
it was because, basically a blog as well. Very confessional.
So it was like you'd have, it was on like the right side of the screen where like that was like
left side, wasn't it? Bottom left.
I can't remember. Anyway. But yeah, like you could, you'd see like the titles of their recent kind of pieces, dare we say.
Yeah.
And you, then like,
you'd be like a poem for blah, blah, blah. And you'd be like, and you'd click in and then you'd read their bulletin.
Yeah. And it would just be random stuff. Mm. Like just, it'd be like a little piece about their weekend.
Mm. And it was basically the early stages of like a thirst trap, because I remember you could write a bulletin and then like your fancy, because the best thing about fucking MySpace, we would say online now. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah,
so you little, know when they're online.
And it was like the little kind of,
it was like a little green man with orange.
Yeah, it was like, I'm online.
Yeah. Online now. And you'd be like, ah. And like, because it wasn't like the internet was older, you'd have to refresh the page and then it would say they're online.
Yeah.
So sometimes they'd say they're online, then you'd write a bulletin, and then by the time you refresh the page, they're gone offline. You're like, oh, for fuck. And then like, if you didn't write the bulletin when they were online, they wouldn't see it because it would get mashed up.
Yeah, because you had
Star's
so
fucking
many friends.
Oh,
on
my
MySpace.
God. So like, many people. I would literally be adding, like, there's people still that I'm, who I follow on Instagram, who I only know because I followed them on MySpace.
Same.
And that's the tea.
That is the real tea.
And I've never met them, and they're from Dublin. I'm like,
oh really?
Some of them, so many of them. Yeah, Dublin, like fucking MySpace people.
Yeah, that girl, that was so wild. Like, I'd just given birth to Rilo and I was like,
you're like, priorities, dreadlocks.
I want dreads. My mum was like, what? No, years ago.
You've only just had the child.
I know.
And the bees.
And I was like, because I wrote to that girl. I was like, I love your hair. You're so cool. And she was like, oh, thanks. And I was like, how did you do it? She's like, I did them myself. I'll come over and do them for you. I was like, you live in Birmingham. She bloody came
what?
Over. It was so random. But I loved it.
Yeah. Does she still have dreads? Question.
No.
She doesn't. Interesting.
She shaved off her hair in quarantine.
Now, oh, she, yes, I remember this.
But she hasn't had dreads for like 7 years.
Okay.
She randomly like brushed them out and had the most glowing hair. She's like one of those perfect hair people.
Unreal hair.
Yeah, but she came over and we went to Moore Street and bought all like the shit that we needed, and she fully did full dreads in my hair and I looked deadly.
Oh.
I was like,
what color were your first dreads?
They were like light brown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then I bleached them. I just copied her. She bleached hers.
Okay, and you're like,
I bleached mine.
I want bleached dreads.
Are we still friends?
That's cute.
But yeah, that was wild. I don't think I even fully told my mom. Like, I was living him at home.
She just came home and you were like, hey.
I was like,
did she stay in your house?
Yeah. I was like, it's my friend. It's because I was going out with Rilo's dad at the time. So
yeah.
He was English. So
yeah.
I think I was just like, oh, it's, they know each other. They're both English. And I was like, okay.
And where I'm getting dreads.
Yeah, I'm getting dreads. So weird.
Oh my
so
God.
Random. She was like taking naked pics of me. She was also like a photographer. Fucking weird ass shit. My friends thought I was a lesbian with her.
Lesbians.
Lesbians.
We're lesbians together.
We're lesbians. We're lesbiany.
Beans. Any last thoughts then on social media? Before we wrap her up.
I loved MySpace. MySpace was the most exciting thing because, like, it was our first thing. I loved that it was the whole definition of you. It was like your pictures, your music.
And it was the cooler thing because everyone was on Bebo.
Yeah. Oh, no. No one really was on MySpace. It was an emo thing.
Very big emo scene kind
of
thing.
And I didn't go down the emo route.
But it was like an alternative thing. I think anyone who I knew who liked like alternative music was on MySpace.
Yeah.
Like if you liked kind of cool shit, you were like on MySpace 100%.
And you found shit. Like that's what I loved about, which you still find like on Instagram, like people are putting up their music and their food and where they're going.
It's
and
just
what
so saturated.
Yeah. And also you don't know if they're doing it genuinely because you're like, are you just trying to get a free meal? And that's why you're tagging this place. But like MySpace, none of that existed. Like Jeffree Star was insane on MySpace. Like his photos.
The puking the cereal. I mean, everyone remembers seeing that photo for the first time.
It was like pink milk, I think, and like
pink milk and like Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, and his makeup was like, that is the coolest picture I've ever seen.
I was like, I've never thought of a photo to exist like that.
And I'm pretty sure like he invented like all those like really high, the photos from like a height.
Yeah.
And that became like the mark of like emo shit. Like I remember literally taking photos on my dad's digital camera in my room, like, I mean, above my fucking head.
I know, so
you'd only see my nose and my chin and my fringe. My huge, huge fringe.
Like, gosh.
I remember you'd be like, new DP, you'd be like your default pic.
Oh my god.
Instead of profile pic. And like, it was kind of similar how you use Instagram. Because when Facebook kind of copied Bebo because you'd put up albums and you'd put up all these pictures.
Yeah.
But MySpace is like Instagram in the sense that you'd put up like, it wasn't cool on it in MySpace if you were like putting a picture on picture.
Yeah, you had like your 12 best pictures. Yeah, it'd be like this is the me I want out
there.
Like
my new profile pic.
Yeah.
That's my new pic.
And they'd be like,
and always comments being like, or they'd be like, comment for comment.
Like for like.
Yeah, like for like.
Follow for follow. And also you did.
It's like F for F, they comment. And you'd be like, you'd have to go comment on theirs being like, rawr.
You'd follow them, they'd follow you. Like it was like currency.
Yeah.
Like now you get those random things on Instagram being like, follow our page and we'll follow.
Yeah, they're like, I've DM'd you, Stella.
Yeah. We want to send you some of our leggings. I'm like, what? It's always leggings.
They're made from bamboo or some shit. You're like, what?
So weird. But yeah, I loved that back in the day.
So good.
You'd have portraits of yourself. Like I was trying to take portraits.
Oh yeah, it was like self-portrait mode.
So so I have a pregnancy pic of me and I think I'm doing the rar with my hand.
Classic.
You know, the like cat claw kind of hand, and I'm like fully in a bikini in my bedroom. Doing the emo kind of leg.
Oh, the turned in
turnsies. Turned inward, yeah. Kind of like
vulnerable kind of. I think the emo leg came from Sally from Nightmare Before Christmas. Because
no,
those little,
really?
Yeah, because all of those, that's what I think of, all those, what's his name?
Tim Burton
characters had those spindly legs and they'd always have their toes facing in and they'd be like dolls, hanging kind of doll-like.
Yeah, and Fiona and Sarah used to do that all the time. Like
and
they'd
the leaning
over. Yeah, they'd crouch over and be like, and like head to the side, peace sign.
I'm pretty sure Fiona did that up until not long ago.
I know, I think she gave herself a freaking hunchback. I was like, walking around like, ow, I'm in the emo pose too much.
So let us know who, I'd love to know who was on MySpace. We'll put up a poll maybe, because
I'd love to know
the,
some of your like
the astrology poll was gas. We knew exactly what sign everyone was, which by the way, if you didn't see, most listeners are Cancers.
Very interesting.
Whoa. The trifecta. Whoa. But we'll put one up because I would love to know like the percentage of people who are on Bebo versus MySpace. Who was a big MySpace user?
And I think we should put up a little question box with your coming of age stories.
Yeah, so go over to our Instagram now and you can pop them in. Like best, your favourite films and all that kind of stuff. We'll put one up.
Yeah, just coming of age moments.
Yes.
You always give us gas ass shit.
Fucking gas. So girls, we'll be back next week. I think we're actually doing a Q&A next week. So keep an eye out for when we make our Anon Ask Box public again.
Yes, we'll pop that up on Instagram and you can ask away, girlies.
Talk to you later.
Bye, girls.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.